Welcome to the How to Raise Money podcast for anyone who wants to raise other people's money for a business or property venture. Right now, there has never been more money on the planet, and there has never been more opportunity. This podcast will help you put the two together. So, if you need money for your business or property proposals from banks, lenders, angels, whales, or dragons, this is the podcast for you.
Hi everyone, this is Ray McLennan
and Nigel Best.
Nigel Best, and we're here to introduce podcast number 11 already.
Number 11, can you believe it? That's just ridiculous.
Number 11,
it?
Yeah.
Ten in the bag.
For anyone who's Scottish listening, I'll say 11, 11, 11. If you've watched that YouTube comedy post about the people in the voice controlled lift, it wouldn't work.
We're already going so far off tangent. I don't know how far. What, 10 seconds in? Is that our new record?
Right. Anyway, okay, so here we are.
We're talking about my favourite subject, food.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, let's get serious now.
Let's get serious. Okay. We're talking about the pie.
Now, the pie I'm referring to is the pie chart, the pie of the project that you're doing. So this one is entitled "You Don't Need to Share the Pie."
This is already making me think. I thought that the whole idea was you did share the pie.
Come on, give us
the other side.
It's kind of a contrarian view. Yes, when you're doing joint ventures, there's always the suggestion that you need to be generous and you should share the pie. Now, that's fine. That's great if it's your first project or your second project. Yeah. But you do not always need to do that all the time.
Okay.
If you are taking most of the risk, the financial risk, then you should get most of the reward. Putting it into context, a lot of people say to me, oh, I'm sharing around with all my employees. They're getting a percentage here. They're getting a percentage there. I don't think that's wise. I think employees have an employee mindset. They get paid for sweat of the brow work. So they should not get paid if you're taking a risk, if that makes sense.
So we're introducing this one. You're going to be talking about the risk and reward. Those two words always go together. A bit like fish and chips. We're back on the food thing again, aren't they?
But
you don't always have to think down that mindset. You can, to some extent, be a little bit selfish to begin with.
Absolutely.
It could be something. I mean, obviously, if you give it all away in the early days, there's nothing left to give if you suddenly needed to scale to a different level.
Yeah, no, that's true. You will hear people will say to you in business, you better to have 10% of something than 100% of nothing.
Yeah.
And there's an element of truth in all of that. But this is a contrarian view. Now, this podcast that we've recorded is actually a webinar. So with a webinar, there were visual slides, but I do describe what is on the slides.
So are we going to put those slides or some of that into the show notes?
Yes.
Can we do that for everyone?
Yes,
for our listeners, our wonderful listeners.
Yes,
Hello to everyone out there.
Yes, we will put that in. We will put that into the show notes.
Fantastic. So, well, I tell you what, enough of our waffle, hate. Let's get straight back into it. So it's over to you, Ray.
So it's podcast number 11, You Don't Need to Share the Pie. Okay, hi, and welcome to Raising Angel Finance webinar. I'm Ray McLennan, and tonight the webinar is why you don't need to share the pie. Why you don't need to share the pie. I'm going to go into that in just a second as to what the pie is. But before we do, as usual, I get a lot of emails, phone calls, requests, meetings, and I'm sort of scribbling down, taking note of some of the meetings. So here we are, we've got 5 million quid and I'm looking for a range of JV partners. So if you've got 3%, he will fund 98%. It's a London-based investor looking for essentially any kind of property deal anywhere in the UK. Well, he said anywhere in the UK. I then said Scotland, he said no. I then said Ireland, he said no. I then said Wales, and he said no. So he's really looking at England, anywhere in England. So despite being a UK, or saying he wants UK deals, England is the one he wants. Got another one here, and this is a Midlands-based agent and investor. And he's looking to JV with commercial deals in the Midlands. So anything from, well, he said 500 grand to 5 million. Now, he's a agent, but he's also got a building company. He's also an investor. He is looking to do JV deals. Anything from 8 to 12% is what he wants on the money. So he, just to be clear, he is a developer and an investor. He has a building company. He's willing to advance the money to do the deal at between 8 and 12% and to joint venture. So he'll do all the work, do absolutely everything and share in the pie with you. So if you've got anything in the Midlands, anything in Birmingham, Leicester, that sort of neck of the woods, Birmingham, Leicester, Nottingham, all around there, he's willing to JV and to do deals. So you've heard it here first. I'm not going to be promoting this out to anyone else, but to you guys tonight and anyone else that's in this group. And we have another one, a Southeast-based investor developer. We've got 6 deals this year. They'll be doing 2 million profit per deal, but he's conscious that the pipeline is going to run out and is looking to start putting stuff into the pipeline now for later on this year, next year, and the year after. So 2019, 2020, looking for deals in the pipeline. So if you've got any, so here we are, pretty much from the Midlands, from Nottingham, all the way down to the Southeast. That should cover an awful lot of ground. So if you've got any deals in those areas, we can put you in touch with people. So some deals we've done this month. We've done a few, 170 grand loan. We've got 40 million proof of funds for a commercial deal. I'll be going into that in a second. And short-term loans for serviced accommodation. We've done a host of others, but that's just a sort of spread of some of the ones that we've done. Now, there we are. There's all the information that an investor, a lender, an angel, a whale, a dragon, that's all the things they're going to want. You see this every single time. So we'll look at property location, who's the borrower, what's the loan amount, what's the valuation, what's the purpose, the repayment terms, security, interest rate, minimum term that you need it for, maximum term, which will always be longer than you think, the notice period between when you want to secure the money and when you want to actually draw down the money, then the drawdown amount, then the default rate if you should go over the maximum term, then who is your solicitor, who is their solicitor, who's doing the loan agreement, and we talked about sweeteners before. Haven't had any of these for a while that can constitute a sweetener. There's been a few individuals, one or two, who are listening in tonight who've had a bit of a sweetener deal, but that's another story. Right, tonight's subject is why you don't need to share the pie, 21 ways to make more pie. Now, when I'm talking about a pie, I am talking, of course, about a financial pie. I'll go into that in a second. But I'm talking about, we get a lot of developers who want to do deals. A lot of people who call themselves developers have maybe done smallish deals, not too many deals, and want to share out the pie. There are also a number of people who are, how shall we say, buying businesses, buying ready-made businesses. And should they share out the pie? Well, we'll go through that and we will discuss in intricate detail. Well, no, we won't. It's not going to be too intricate. 21 ways. Now, why it's important? Well, it's important because if you do all the work, if you're doing all the work, pulling everything together, why should everyone else get an equal share? Is there a way to incentivize? That should be incentivized without giving away the whole pie. Is there a way? Yes, there is. Now, when we talk about this image that we show here, which shows clarity, alignment, commitment, values, vision, goals, strategic plans, actions, habits, and focus, we're now getting down into actions, habits. We're going to do focus on the next webinar, but we're into actions and habits here. These are action points. So by now, you'll have your values sorted out. You'll have your vision sorted out. You'll have your goals. You know what you're going to be doing. You'll have your strategic plans in whatever particular area you are looking into. And now these are actions. Now, this particular webinar, which is talking about sharing a pie, might not be relevant to everyone, might be relevant to some of you right now, and it might be relevant if you're thinking in the future and thinking, well, actually, yeah, I'm looking to get involved in bigger deals, or I'm looking to get involved in potentially buying a business or something. So this is where that will be important, or where that will be relevant to you. So you might be interested in this, you want to be looking at it, and you want to bank it. At least you know it's there. At least you know that what we're doing. Now, this is, I suppose this is something that's come to the forefront for me, and I'll explain why in a minute. But you've probably heard a quote, and it's called, the meek shall inherit the earth. Well, you can extend that out. Some of you may have heard John Paul Getty. He said, the meek shall inherit the earth, but not its mineral rights. The meek shall inherit the earth, but not its mineral rights. Now, exactly. That's because risk equals reward. An honest day's work for an honest day's pay is not risk-taking. Now, if we use the mineral analogy, if you work in my mine, let's say, I'll pay you fairly to make it a great mine to work in. I'll incentivize you if it makes sense for the company to do so. I might even contribute to your pension, contribute to your healthcare, care of your family, teach you to grow your skills, send you on training, improve your personal net worth, ensure you get paid holidays, ensure you're not in any way discriminated against, and I'll concern myself with your personal safety at work. I'll do all of these wonderful things in a thoughtful and consistent way. But that does not mean I need to share out the pie with you when I sell the mine and when I sell its mineral rights. Fair enough? Well, some people don't think that's fair. Some people think it's unfair. Well, if they do think it's unfair, take a job somewhere else. Now, notice I'm saying the word job. I'm talking about employees. I'm not talking about business partners. If it's business partners and they're sharing the risk, remember, risk equals reward. Whoever risks the most should get the most reward. Now, I said employees, but there are some exceptions that are quite important exceptions. For example, so senior managers who've perhaps turned down great offers from somebody else to stay with the company, very long-term employees or key employees who've made a crucial difference, that sort of thing, they should certainly be considered for a piece of the asset sale pie. But generosity needs to be tempered with the facts concerning risks and the rewards, and they are facts. Now, what about incentives from annual profits offered to senior employees? Well, they're necessary, but they perhaps represent a problem that kind of has vexed me, and I don't think I've ever got it right. So your aim as an owner is quite simple. It's to improve management efficiency, productivity in any kind of business, whether it's serviced accommodation, whether it's commercial conversions or whatever, and therefore and thereby improve future profits while still encouraging the business to grow. But a balance is quite crucial, and many managers try and reach their target simply by cutting costs, and that can be fatal. Any fool can cut costs at any time, and it makes them look like a genius. And if they look like a genius, that's great, but the moment will pass and quality might collapse. Now, keeping costs down in any business is absolutely vital, except the government, I suppose. But it shouldn't be the main focus of senior managers. Now, I've seen this time and time again where it can be there. You cannot cost cut your way to success or prosperity. You just can't do it. So there's a balance between profit and investment for future growth and revenues versus costs. But the latter, the cost should not be cut merely to meet management bonus targets. So I'm talking about all of this for a very specific reason. And that is because if you look at this, here is a letter dated the 18th of April, very recently, and you'll see it's made out to me, and it's, well, let's zoom in on it. It's to confirm that there's a firm being appointed to finance the proposed acquisition of a, it says property, it's actually a company, it's a property company, and it's a 40 million transaction. It's a 40 million transaction, and they're looking to push this deal forward imminently, and therefore I am being tied up in an awful lot of detail about this particular proposal. Because what's going to happen is we're going to buy this company, we're going to make one or two changes, and then we're going to sell it on. And all I am hearing from the existing employees, the people that are there, that have been there for a while, some have been there for a while, some have been for a while, they all think it's going to be this massive, big, huge payday and how they're going to all somehow share in some big, massive uplift. But unless they do, like I am doing, and put their neck on the line and put their, I suppose, remember, it's risk and reward. If they balance that out, then yes, risk equals reward. But an honest day's work for an honest day's pay is not risk-taking. And quite a lot of them, the people there, are getting paid very, very well. And therein lies the problem. They're all getting paid extremely well. I'm going to come in and I'm going to try and not just do cost-cutting, but make it more efficient. And it's going to be at the expense of some of them. So we've got to get this kind of balance right. So I've been looking at that over the last month, couple of months or so. And that's why I thought I'd bring this topic up. Because the more I'm getting deeper into it, the more I'm meeting lots of developers who get the same thing. They're now getting approached by their architect, they're getting approached by their quantity surveyor, they're getting approached by project managers, all wanting to share in the particular pie, and they're all sort of unsure of what to do. Some of them are wanting to, you often hear it, you've got to be, you know, be generous. Well, being generous is being generous with someone who's sharing the risk with you, not necessarily the people that are at the coalface, shall we say. So there's the pie. That is the pie, and there's a big chunk that's taken out of that pie. Now, if you take that pie and everybody gets a piece of it, then there's not going to be a huge amount left. And that's where we have to strike the right balance about the pie. So we're talking about a financial pie here, and there's a financial pie chart. So you can see there's a large chunk at the bottom, and that should be left for the owner, the risk taker. And then there's a certain section, looks like a pizza slice there, little V-shaped, that can go to, or could go to, incentivize employees or incentivize managers, I suppose. First class employees, managers are, you know, they're not overly motivated by money. They all want security or respect or a chance to learn or an opportunity to shine. Often they require just a little bit more than a decent salary where they feel loved and valued. But you and I, on the other hand, we're greedy. We're capitalists. Okay, we're not greedy, but we are capitalists. And we have a bigger vision. And that's the thing. I have a bigger vision. I'm getting involved in the deal because the bigger vision is I want to start building affordable housing for key workers in the NHS. And everywhere I turn, everybody says, oh, you can't do that. That's impossible. You're not going to make any money. And people with a load of money are saying it's not making enough money. Well, sorry, but how much is enough? So if I can't get them to do it, I'm going to have to do it. I'm therefore going to have to do some spectacular deals, and I'm going to have to be a little bit bent on the pursuit of wealth, shall we say, so that I can achieve my aim. Now, I have to be careful because, well, a lot of employees and people that work in some of these businesses that we're looking to take over are called the salt of the earth. And I've spoken to an older mentor, and he has said, you don't get far if you attempt to financially incentivize the salt of the earth. Praise their ability when they do a good job, and fairness, integrity, and camaraderie should all be there. But it takes more, it's more trouble than it's worth to get the salt of the earth financially involved in a slice of the business. And that's not what we want to do. So, talking about competition. So when you're buying a business and you're looking at incentivizing a business, you're looking at growing a business, you've got competition. And competition is what makes capitalism bearable. Now, without rigorous competition, all forms of Western society would rule by parliaments or the equivalent, not just by parliaments, but fat, bloated, impregnable monopolies, because that's what happens. If you don't have rigorous competition, that's what happens. Now, I'm old enough to remember the days before the likes of Freddie Laker, the days before British Telecom, the GPO, as it was called in the UK, where you had to wait months and months and months before you get a phone installed. And Britain in the 70s and 80s, much of the 80s, certainly all of the 70s and much of the 80s, was ruled by, I suppose, undemocratic, nationalised industries, and nobody got a look in. There certainly was no such thing as competition. And Britain was called the sick man of Europe for a particular reason. Now, I know I'm on a bit of a soapbox here and ranting a bit, because I'm starting to see a sort of resurgence where there's a lot of promises being made, political promises being made about how this is going to be done and that's going to be done. And I think it's just short-term memory. There are people out there that are not old enough to remember what it was like. And as I've said before on many occasions, capitalism works, socialism only works if there are enough capitalists to pay for it. So we all have to be capitalist in some way or another. Okay, enough of the rant. Let's get down to 21 ways to make more pie. Okay, so 21 ways to make more pie. Right, so buying a business, getting involved in the business, make annual bonuses generous. So if you want managers to concentrate on improving margin, profitability while growing the business, then they have to feel that it's worth it. Pay them for performing well. They need to be paid for performing well on a day-to-day basis, but not necessarily incentivized by the end game. They're not really interested in a year or 2 years down the line when they're going to get a percentage. They want jam today. They want jam today. So next one is ring fence investment costs. Now, you want the business to grow, but you want to make profit. So balance is the key. Now, you ring fence investment money for new projects and growth in the annual accounts, and you can encourage managers to work on margin and profit from their ongoing parts of the business, while offering them the chance to grow and take some risk. But this equation requires patience and goodwill on all sides. It can be done, but it works. So investment costs taken out, ring fenced. Now, while we're talking about costs, keep costs down. Now, overhead walks on two legs, and it walks out of the building at night, and it will eat you out of house and home. No company, new or old, can avoid stealth growth in overheads, and it occurs everywhere by like osmosis. So you have to prune regularly and stop only when the pips squeak. Now, I remember working in a company and they were paying, this was years ago, they were paying £28,000 a year for their website. Can you believe that? But this was in the days when, well, it wasn't too long ago, but it was when the internet and all that was still a little bit scary. Websites were, you know, 50 grand and all this kind of carry on. But this firm was going for a long, long time, and websites had been around for a long, long time, and they were still paying ridiculous money. So keep costs down. Keep costs down. Now, at AC, the next one is never delegate bonus arrangements. So, yeah, don't delegate bonus arrangements. And what that means is don't give managers the opportunity to bonus other managers. That's what we're really talking about here. You don't want to delegate that out. A bonus is a big deal, and I'll talk later on and one of the other ways to make more pie of why that is important. So at senior level, collective responsibility. Now that should have come up in one rather than a whole bunch, but never mind. So part of the annual incentive bonus for senior managers should result from their combined efforts to bring home the profits. You cannot make a senior manager's whole bonus rest on one thing, but peer pressure is very, very powerful. It's a powerful force. I don't know if you've read Little Boss, which is the autobiography of Andrew Carnegie, but Andrew Carnegie went into his steel mills and he looked at all the men coming in from coming off work, off the shift, and he asked one of them and said, how many tons of steel did you produce? And he said, I think it was about 15. So he just walked over to the wall and he wrote 15 on the wall and didn't do anything else and just walked away. 15 on the wall, walked away. And the next shift came on and went, what was that all about? And he said, he asked me how many tons of steel we produced. So we said 15 and he just wrote it on the wall there. And they went, right, that's fine. They all went off to work. And when they came off, they scored out the 15 and wrote 17. And so it went on. And that, I suppose, was one of Andrew Carnegie's brilliant skills. And talk about incentivizing. But that was collective responsibility. Everybody felt responsible and everybody felt that they should do better. And that's a great way of motivating people. So next thing is praise excellent work. Praise excellent work. So employees will, or anybody will expect or respect somebody who knows the difference between mundane and exceptional. Now, not all employees respond to incentive bonuses or a dangled carrot of any kind. They'll actually seek recognition, not bribery. There's a lot of people out there that money has no bearing. Has no bearing whatsoever. They just want praise. And it's important that you know who needs what. And talking of that, there are those who need praise and there are those that need a boot up the backside. So number 7 is fire malingerers. And then that would be anyone incompetent, anyone who seeks praise from the boss on a regular basis but doesn't do anything. And firing them, getting rid of them will make you feel better, but it actually contributes to a more pleasant working atmosphere and it does cheer up the whole staff. I recall, again, one business where I worked in over 100 employees and we had a questionnaire that went round. We were talking to all the employees about, you know, if you were running the place, who would you want on your team and who would you not want on your team? It wasn't who would you fire, it was just who would you want on your team, who would you not want on your team? And the same names kept cropping up. Now, that was on the staff and the employees side, but also when it comes to firing malingerers, you can have customers who are malingerers. You'll probably find that 20% of your, the old 80-20 rule, Pareto principle, is that 80% of your profits will come from 20% of your customers, and 80% of your problems will come from 20% of your customers. So you can fire and get rid of customers as well. But firing malingerers, people who work in an organisation or don't work in an organisation, can be very, very rewarding, cheers up the whole staff. Next one here is turn a cold eye, it says there, on company perks, because they can add up to huge sums. Look at the company that we're looking at. They have company-issued credit cards, they've got mobile phones, cards, travel and entertainment, and all sorts of things. Travel on trains and planes and automobiles and taxi accounts and all sorts of things. And it's adding up to a phenomenal amount of money. We had a very brief look at the accounts, and so far we've seen about £240,000 that could have been easily shaved away from the budget. Now, this firm is making, or the one we're looking at targeting, the one I showed you the figure earlier on, it's for sale at about 40 million. It's got about an 8 million turnover, and it's got just over £2 million in profits. But it could be so much better. It could be so much better. Just looking at the ratios, I mean, I'm on ICM, as many of you will know, Inner Circle Mastermind and Inner Circle Mastermind Elite. So I can ask other company owners, I can ask people who have businesses of a similar nature, what their ratios are. I can say, here is a balance sheet. Can you give me your opinion on this? Here is a profit and loss account. And with this particular one, showed some people, and they just right away, they said, oh, hang on a minute, this just looks like it's taking an absolute mickey. What's going on here? So there we go. Company perks, we saw £240,000 worth just like that could quite easily have been stripped out. And where would that money have gone? Straight to the bottom line. Straight to the bottom line. So while we're talking about company perks, we're talking about, jollies. Anyone knows what a jolly is? A jolly is a kind of generic, it's an English, British, Scottish term where, you know, usually it's the sales team who fly off to some event or some sales event that's happening in the south of France. The great property one is MIPIM. That's probably actually, in terms of a jolly, that can be quite a good one, although it depends who goes. So MIPIM, which is the big annual company investment and property jolly, is held usually mid to the end of March in the south of France every year. And I didn't go, but I meet lots of people who have gone, and they all say that it's fantastic, it's great, but oh my God, there's so many people, employees that are out there just, you know, they're not looking to do any business at all. They just want to enjoy the nightlife, enjoy the dinners, enjoy the sunshine, enjoy each other's company. But not an awful lot of deals were being done. The deals seem to be getting done in cafes and wine bars and hotels away from the event itself. So I'm not a great fan of the jollies. And in fact, while we had legal perks, while we had the company perks coming to about 240 grand bottom line, we saw jollies in there of about 50 grand at the bottom line. So we're now nearly 300,000, where a quick glance at this spreadsheet and profit and loss and balance sheet, we can start to see some savings there. So the next one here is offer legal perks. Okay, legal perks that you've paid for yourself to employees. Now it sounds crazy, but it works. An example might be that if you have, well, I've seen some companies where the boss has a fantastic car and he lets some of the employees borrow the car or use the car. He might allow employees to stay at his house or other, I suppose there's lots of other incentives, legal perks. When employees have children, they can get gifts and presents and so on. And these perks are all legal because the boss of the firm has paid for them himself. He's paid for them himself and can therefore make them legal. So legal perks, a big minefield now with all this bribery and corruption rules around, but legal perks are absolutely perfectly fine. Okay, so next one I put here is set an example. So set an example is if you are, I suppose, in a business and you want fancy furniture and works of art and all the rest of it, well, you know, pay for them yourself. Don't have the company pay for them. You can't expect earlier on company perks, firing malingerers, cutting down costs if you're boosting them all up on your end. When I used to own restaurants and I owned companies that imported wine and all this, it would be very, very easy for me to go and eat in my own restaurants, which I did. But every single time I went, I paid. I made sure the staff saw me paying. If I ordered a bottle of wine, I paid for it. If I brought people in for a meal, I paid for it. And that way the staff could see that there was no, I was setting an example, there were no cutting corners. Then they couldn't argue that the gross profit was down because I brought in a table of people and, you know, eaten all the profits or drank all the profits. I always made sure that I paid my way. I always made sure to set an example. Okay, so number 12 is encourage one-on-one discussions on results. So this would be senior managers going over annual results with you one-on-one. And you learn much more. You learn loads in kind of off-the-cuff remarks and opinions expressed at one-on-one meetings while you go through the financial results. You'll get much more than you ever do sitting around a boardroom table. And it produces a load of action points on either side. So I encourage one-on-one discussions as a result, and that's what we're doing right now. Okay, back up your managers. With delegation comes responsibility. So we all want to back the managers up in public whenever we have to. If they don't perform, we will speak seriously to them in private. If they don't perform, and if they still don't perform, then we'd fire them, but we will not undercut them or engage in meetings that appear to undercut them. We will reprimand other managers who badmouth their peers, and nearly everyone's ego and self-confidence is much more fragile than the outside world would, I suppose, appear or believe. So we'll always back up in public and chastise in private. Now, searching out and promoting talent. So one of the great things about looking at a business and taking it over is the talent gets a chance to rise to the top. So talent might not necessarily be the first person you think of, but it's the ones who are quietly working away in the distance. And talent can often be found in the lower reaches of an organisation, I suppose. But we have found some talent in the company that we're looking at, and you can just see that they're desperate to be let off the leash. They've probably been, for the last couple of years, been telling everyone that this is what we should be doing, this is what we should be doing, this is where we should be going. And they're constantly, I suppose, being shot down by senior managers or other people that are there because they've been in with the bricks, and they're maybe not actually lending much in the way of quality or incentiveness that they should be. So the next thing is interview rivals talent. So I'm already speaking to a couple of people who work for a very similar organization, similar size, and they're definitely rivals. And I can see that they're very, very keen to get involved. So we are and will be meeting them for a quiet drink. Yeah, a little quiet drink. And we will have a wee chance to chat, see what their thinking is. They shouldn't really give away all their thoughts, but surprisingly, some of them already have. We've chatted to them and they've laid out what they think the future should be for this particular company once we have taken it over. Now, say that, once we've taken over, it's not a done deal yet. We're still going through the whole diligence process, and that's why I never put the name down there, because many's a slip between cup and lip. It could all go pear-shaped. We might not end up owning it or anything, but the process is what I'm going through. I'm in this for the process. If it comes off, it'll be fantastic. If it doesn't come off, at least we'll have learned going through the particular process in this one. So it's very interesting when people are pointing at you and saying, that's the potential new owner of this business. And it's amazing what comes out of the woodwork. It's amazing how people contact you on LinkedIn. In fact, there's more ways of getting in touch with anybody now than ever before, but it's absolutely, utterly amazing. The phone calls that come through, the emails, the texts, messaging. I've had everything except a flipping carrier pigeon. But it's, the rival's talent is all starting to sniff around. So by the same token, you want to try in your own firm and discourage secrecy. So the more, you take the managers into confidence, the more they'll respect you and the harder they'll work for you. Now, quite a lot of people disagree with that. They love the feeling of power that comes from knowing things that others don't know. But, you know, I'm not really caring about power. I mean, there's power struggles going on in this company. I don't care about that. I just want the business to work. I want to make some money at it. If it's a quick in and out and a quick flip, then we're going to flip it and we're going to make some serious money. If we hang on to it, and I have to say, my jury is out whether we hang on to it or whether we flip it, but hanging on to it would be quite good, because from a cash flow point of view, it would certainly shore things up. But like I say, I don't care about secrets, and I don't care about who knows what and she knows and who says she says and all that kind of carry on. I just want this to work. Now, on that basis, we've got, we're nearly at the end now, saving a bit of pie for the suppliers. Now, in this particular business, the suppliers are, ironically, big banks. And when I say suppliers, this is a property company, and the big banks are providing the bums on seats, the heads on beds. And surprisingly, there's four banks that account for almost 10% each of the business. So that's four banks. So 40% of the business in this company comes from four banks. Now that makes me nervous. That makes me very nervous. I don't want anyone who's supplying a business to have more than 10%, because then you have an undue reliance on somebody. So if you've got any business and you're getting more than 10% of your income from one particular source, you need to seriously take a step back and take a review and see if there's any way that you can cut that down. Now, having said that, saving a little bit of the annual pie to wine and dine suppliers, I'm going to let them wine and dine me. I'm going to wine and dine. I'm actually wanting to interview the chief exec of one of these banks. So it's going to be an interesting conversation when we finally do get that dinner coffee, or we get to sit down and do that podcast. But yeah, I am looking at saving a bit of the pie. I've got some ideas, more on that later, but I've got some ideas on how that might work. So you notice I said the big banks, I didn't put the boot into them, because I think it's a sign of weakness if you start bad-mouthing rivals, suppliers, customers, anything like that. I don't think that anyone should ever bad-mouth anyone publicly. Privately, we can all have our say-so on what we absolutely think and then go do something about it. But there's no point in just moaning and whinging for whinging's sake. And I don't want to go out of my way to antagonise anyone. Now, this deal, if it goes ahead, it's great. There are a couple of rival companies sniffing about. They don't have the financial clout to take this on. They don't seem to have, they've had a look, but I think they've looked from the point of view of just being nosy, trying to get into the data room, trying to find some details. But, it could be that if this goes ahead, there is a rival company that could be purchased, because it would make sense to merge their balance sheet with this balance sheet. So looking ahead to the big picture, I might need to be very, very friendly with the rival. Very friendly with the rival. Right. Okay. Now, I've got here, we want to flip this or we want to keep it, but number 19 says sell early. Well, real money doesn't come from mucking about or running an asset-laden business if you're an entrepreneur, right? So, because entrepreneurs are not managers, remember? Managers are day-to-day, they want the money. But as an entrepreneur, I want to get rich, okay? I want to bring in a shedload of money so I can go on and fulfill my vision and values. And if I ever get the chance to sell an asset at the top of its value, I will do. So if we do this particular deal and we tidy it up, and in 6 months' time it's a version of its former self, a better version of its former self, and I have a potential, right, it's a sort of venture capital firm that would buy this business. So a venture capital firm would buy this business if we tidied up the ratios. If the price was right, I would sell that early. I would sell it and take the money and run. Now, taking the money, enjoying the business of making money. So, money's the only marker. Time, you can't get the time back. There's no amount of pie in the world worth being miserable day after day after day. So if you dislike what you're doing, then don't do it. Sell up, get on, do something else. This particular deal happens to coincide with property. It happens to coincide with business. It happens to tick all the particular boxes. And I am absolutely loving it and really enjoying getting involved in it. Now, the irony is, 2-3 years ago, I'd never looked at a deal of this size. So it just shows you what can happen in a very short space of time once your mindset takes a bit of a change. And finally, 21, it could be finally, I could have probably gone on forever with this particular list, but never miss an opportunity to promote your asset. Never miss an opportunity to promote your asset. Now, on that bombshell, many of you may know I have an asset. It's called a podcast, How to Raise Money Podcast. Show me your hands if you've listened to it and if you've left a review. So if you've listened to it and left a review, show me your hands. Put your hands up if you're in there. Why is nobody putting their hands up? Okay, How to Raise Money Podcast. It's out there now. I want you to go and look at it on the podcast and review. So never miss an opportunity to promote. So there I am promoting an asset there. But also this particular one, when it comes off, you will be the first to know. If it doesn't come off, I will tell you why it didn't come off, and I will gladly share with you all the particular reasons why it didn't come off. Now, who is lending right now? So who is lending? Well, there we are. We've got West Street Capital, Matt Lindsay. Matt, very, very keen to do some deals. He's got money available right now. Get your applications in. BIG Property, Mark Bond. Pure Financial Solutions, Matt Johnson. Elysium, Faisal. Lowry Capital, Richard Basso. And we've got three new angel investors, and we've said they're 3 million. That's not a million each. Actually, one of them has got the bulk of that money. And the rest, when you add it up, it comes to that. So the next webinar is number 36, which is called The Power of Focus. The Power of Focus. So if anybody has any questions, now's the time to ask them. If anybody wants to suggest future webinars, now is the time to put it in there. Otherwise, carry on emailing me, carry on texting me, carry on engaging with me on Messenger, as you have been doing. So next webinar, number 36, The Power of Focus. So that is the end of tonight's webinar, which is Sharing the Pie. And I've been Ray McLennan. You've been great. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the How to Raise Money podcast. It's made for people who want to raise money as debt or investment equity for their business or property proposal or empire. The website has all the useful links and underlying research, and you can get downloads of the checklists and other useful information. You can find all that at howtoraisemoney.co.uk. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Ray_McLennan and Nigel Best at Positive Nigel. You can check the blog at raisingangelfinance.blogspot.co.uk. See you next time, where we can show you how to raise money. There is abundance. There is money enough for everyone on the planet. The question is, who has yours?